Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 163 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
And I am really, really excited to bring you my interview with Jose Brilat. He is the new taco editor for Texas Monthly Magazine. He comes with a lot of experience writing about tacos. We get in depth about tacos, obviously, and then its connection to barbecue, its recent connection to barbecue, and why they brought him on board. We talk about his new book that's coming out on April 15th, 2020, called American Tacos, A History and a Guide, where he goes to 38 cities, three countries. His knowledge about tacos is immense, and his knowledge about food is immense, and this is a pleasure to chat with him about that. And I wanted to talk to him about that because I love tacos, and if you like barbecue, chances are, really good chance, you love tacos as well. But also that connection. A lot of places now are making and selling tacos. They may have been making tacos before for their employees or as specials, but a lot of places are making tacos. So I wanted to get that connection and get into deep dive discussion. So for Texas Monthly Magazine, he'll be doing a taco of the week as well as additional deep dives and interviews. He'll be doing some stuff for the print magazine. He has a new list coming out in 2020. There's a lot going on. I know you're going to enjoy this. Thank you, Jose, for taking the time. And if you're digging these, please subscribe to both the podcast and the YouTube channel. I don't want you missing out. I put at least one or two of these out per week. The YouTube channel, if you're just listening to the podcast, is youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. You can find me on all the social media at kevinsbbqjoints. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. Seems like there's a little pattern here that has all links to the podcast, all the YouTube stuff, a list for pop-ups in Los Angeles, barbecue pop-ups in Los Angeles, lists of barbecue pop-ups in Texas, which is growing and growing and growing. But in the end, thanks so much for listening. I hope you do enjoy this. Have a great week. Even though it's a barbecue-related podcast, everyone that loves barbecue loves tacos, obviously. So I think I kind of want to blend, like, it's still silly to say flour or corn, but there might be a preference or what you're looking for. I don't know. See, that's a tough call.
Right. No, ultimately, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the question is it delicious? Do you like it?
Interesting. And if so, that's a great way to put it. That's a great way to put it.
And if so, I can't argue with that, man. You know, that's not quantifiable. You know, that's not something that can be argued against and say, no, this is not delicious. I can say, you know, this is certainly not the usual. This is not part of the tradition.
True.
This is so far off the spectrum that I can't even, you know, say it's part of the modern movement of tacos. You know, there are any number of things that I can speculate about. You know, when it comes to what goes into a taco, but there are traditions. There are salsas that go on certain tacos. There are certain fillings that get certain tortillas. But really, I mean, if you want to quibble about, you know, what corn or flour, both are Mexican, but I would just rather have either of them as long as they're good quality tortillas. I don't begrudge people using commodity tortillas. I don't get offended when they don't make them at their own restaurants. People don't have the time, okay? Not even at home.
Yeah.
And they don't have the money to go through the 24-hour process of nixtamalizing the corn. Then they grind it to form the masa, then they press it to form the tortillas, and the fastest part being the last part, which is the 90 seconds that it takes to make one tortilla. But there are plenty of places in any metropolitan area that will make nixtamalized corn tortillas or fresh flour tortillas, that restaurants can
for sure
buy from.
Well, then that's a great segue to Texas Monthly, because how amazing is it that they had the foresight to hire Daniel, and now what they've done with you and the other editor, like it's quite amazing. How did that come about? Did they reach out to you? I know you were involved with 120 tacos to eat before you died, right? Were you doing some stuff before then?
I've been friends with Daniel for a long time, since his blog days, since I was at The Observer. And we did something together. I don't know if it was before the 120 tacos, taco issue, but the milestone is that 2015 taco issue.
Yeah, which I'll put a link to, because that's really cool. People need to see that. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Well, there's one coming next year.
Ah, okay. I was going to ask about, like, are you going to do, is there something happening? Yeah. Like, I felt like, okay.
Yeah. There's one coming next year. I don't exactly know when.
But 2020.
2020 is going to be a big year for tacos.
You heard it here first.
Well, that's also when my book comes out.
Oh, yeah. That's true, too. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it coming out spring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
April 15. What an auspicious day to have a book released.
That's an amazing. Also
have their reimbursement checks.
Yeah.
Their tax checks cashed and ready to go.
You could do it. You should do it like your first event at like an H&R Block or something.
That's a really great idea.
Or something textually. Yeah. I don't know. Something silly.
Or the post office.
Yeah, the post. Yeah, exactly. As people are, that's even better. Ah, see, brainstorming, right? This is live brainstorming.
Yeah, I don't know if people are good. If the federal government would allow that, but it's worth a try, right?
Yeah,
that is guerrilla marketing.
So real, and it's actually because people are rushing to drop off their returns. They can get, like, maybe you have like a vendor there. Yeah, that's a great little, yeah. Someone would talk about it for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a milestone, that 120.
Yeah. Yeah. So for that, I visited 10 cities, ate almost 400 tacos, not including return visits and or the double orders. I have kept in touch with editors there ever since I actually pitched the idea of a taco editorship during that issue.
Interesting.
I said, wouldn't it be a great idea if now we did this? The magazine was in the process of budgeting, and then it was sold.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say it was sold. That's too.
Yeah, it was sold. I started writing for them occasionally, and all the while I was employed as the food and drink editor at Cowboys and Indians magazine here in Dallas. So I didn't have a lot of time to freelance, but I was kind of working toward reminding them of my interests. And then this year, just things came together. They came together quickly and slowly at the same time.
Okay.
I started to talk about it early in the year, and things went slowly after that. But when it started to happen, it happened like that.
Wow.
So it went from we're going to make you a contractor to no, actually we're going to make you a full-time employee. And I said, sure, thanks, you know. And yes, I almost said no at one point because I just was in disbelief of how fortunate I had become, how lucky. And you know, I've been on the job for less than a month. Is it the 16th or the
17th? Today's the 16th, yeah.
It's the 16th. So Friday I will have been on the job full-time for 1 month. And I've already visited, let's see, I've visited Austin maybe 3 times, just because that's on base, right? That's where the office is, mm-hmm. So I have to talk to people, and I might as well go eat. Been to San Antonio a couple of times, been to Houston once, drove up and down 35, went to Taylor, not to have barbecue, but to eat tacos.
That's great.
Went to Lockhart, Texas, not for barbecue, but for tacos. I did this deliberately. Had some incredible Tex-Mex combos in Hillsboro. And on Friday, I'm going to Waco. So that'll be exciting too.
To eat tacos, not to have barbecue.
Not to have barbecue. No, no. Daniel just read about Waco's barbecue scene.
Exactly, yeah.
How the trailers are improving, or they're getting brick and mortars.
Exactly. There's some, but there's actually both. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am going to eat Tex-Mex. So that's exciting too.
Do you have a running list of places that you want to go to, or people contacting you as well? Like, it's because there's a lot of barbecue spots, but there's even more taco places. And now,
right.
Now there are barbecue spots that do tacos.
Right. So I've been curious about what the overlap's going to be with Daniel. A lot of people want us to go into the same place and look at it from our own perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people have talked to him about it. I haven't talked to him about it, but we were hanging out one lunch, and we were at this strip mall where there were 3 Mexican businesses, food businesses, just one after the other.
Okay.
2 of them were restaurants. I said, I asked Daniel, could 2 barbecue joints coexist side by side? And he said, no. I don't think that there is, well, frankly, more people eat Mexican food than they eat barbecue in 1 week, right? So they have the sample size or the market,
mm-hmm.
where a small space can accommodate such competition. Mexican food as a whole is generally cheaper than going to a barbecue joint. Now, when you talk about barbecue tacos, then you start to blur the lines about cost and competition, and I will get to that in one moment. But I think because more people eat more Mexican food per week, it's more family friendly. It's not like you have to travel 3 hours to Taylor or
Lexington or
Snows in Lexington, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And you don't have to wait like in 2 hour lines or or an hour,
Right. But interestingly enough, there are lines.
True.
I was in Houston at Brothers Taco House, which is one of the city's most famous breakfast places, and there's always a line. I have driven by that place for years and have never wanted to go because I saw the line wrap around the building.
That is true. I misspoke because a lot of there are really good places here too in LA that have a line. It's like
probably trucks too, you know.
Trucks for sure, especially because they're a little slower at.
I've spent a lot of time out there over the 2 to 3 visits that I've made to Southern California. I was in San Diego over the summer. I never made it up to Los Angeles. I just didn't have the time. But
so that is true. Like I never thought about. You do see two Mexican places or three next to each other or in the same mini mall, and I've always wondered how does that work.
It works really well. Until it doesn't, because maybe one place has its rent go up too high, or their food quality diminishes. There are any number of variables, but I live in the Oak Cliff neighborhood of Dallas, which is majority Mexican, and we have one commercial strip on Jefferson Boulevard, which is Mexican restaurant after Mexican restaurant after Mexican restaurant. Jewelry stores, quince shops where you can get all the prettiest dresses.
Of course.
You know, party stores, ice cream stores, all these wonderful things. All that gets back to the point that, yes, I have a list, and it is a long one. A lot of it has to do with the fact that there is this density that is not found in barbecue.
Yeah.
I have a list that goes all the way across the state, just for Texas Monthly, and that one of the things that I'm really interested in is after getting through the Texas Triangle, which is where most Texans live, Dallas, San Antonio, Houston, back up to Dallas, right? Is to go out to the Panhandle, to where there are meat processing plants. You know who work at meat processing plants?
Yes, sir.
Mexican immigrants. Do you know what pops up around these Mexican?
I wonder.
So I want to go out there. I want to go back to El Paso, where my wife's family's from. Not only because it's... Well, it's very timely, but it's also one of my favorite cities in the country. Some of the nicest people I've ever met, and some of the greatest Mexican food I've ever had.
I can imagine.
It's got its own quirks. It's very hyper regional, because it's right on the border. And
Juarez, isn't Juarez on the other side? Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Juarez. El Paso are two halves of one city, and the city plan extends across both municipalities. And Juarez was called El Paso until they changed their name. So my in-laws used to grow up growing across the river just to go dancing and just to go to dinner as teenagers. And you can do that to some extent now. For a while in the early days of my marriage, the headlines of the El Paso paper were pretty scary. So on my first trip, I swore to her I was going to go to Juarez, and I opened up the paper and she said, "See, no."
And it was like a nightclub with probably.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty shocking. It's fine now. There's been an uptick in violence, but I certainly wouldn't warn anyone against going, just like I wouldn't warn people against going to Baltimore.
Or
Chicago.
Yeah, both two places that have a lot of problems. There's a lot of different places. I was going to say there's been an uptick in violence in the United States. It's not an uptick. Yeah. It's just there. It also depends on the focus of the media too. Like the media has a good good hand of playing that.
Exactly, and I want to tell the stories of these places through the people's food and the people themselves. Not just to humanize them, right? But to also just say, look, well, I mean, mainly to humanize them, but to show the diversity of what is Texas Mexican food, and to show our readers the great diversity that is part of our state.
And you know what's interesting is I grew up in Los Angeles, as we've talked about, and I went to school in San Diego, went to San Diego State, and the Mexican food was fantastic in San Diego. But I also, going to Texas, there was something different about the it was spectacular. It was not that it's better, but it was better, but it was different. And I still love the Mexican food here, and there's still a million places, but it's just there's something special. And then also border towns have a special type of. I used to go to Calexico.
Calexico's on the northern border, and Mexicali's on the southern border. I mean the southern side.
Yeah, I used to represent a furniture company that was based in Otay Mesa, so we would go to Otay Mesa with clients, and then we'd come across to Calexico to eat, and it was at the small little places that were just the best food ever had in my life. Just so good.
And what an interesting area to mention the diversity of Mexican food. Mexicali is known for its Chinese Mexican population and all its Chinese restaurants, right? This is something that people don't often consider, and by people I mean Americans for the most part. Don't often consider the diversity of not just the food, but of the communities. Juarez right now has been seeing a lot of Cuban immigrants. It's changing Juarez. It's changing what Juarez sounds like, what it eats, what it looks like, and the it's just part of what you said. Border life and border food are their own things. They are unique places that are of both cultures or several cultures and of their own culture that create their own cuisines. For example, Brownsville and the Rio Grande Valley, where I was in February, and I try to go to as often as possible, but it's really far away. That's one of the things about Texas, right, is that it's so big that when I was younger, I could say, yes, let's leave Dallas at 2 a.m., and then we'd be in McAllen at lunchtime, right on the border. But in the valley, they put fresh crumbled cheese on their tacos. And the tacos are filled with beef. Why beef and why cow's milk? Well, because it's cattle country. And so I'm getting to my definition of the tacos here, and that is that tacos represent and reflect their own time and place. So far be it from me to say that what you eat in any city is not of that place or is not a taco. I wrote about pork chop tacos for my first taco of the week, and this pork chop taco has a bone in it. It's served with a steak knife, and that's it. No instructions.
Lovely.
But that is very San Antonio, mm-hmm. right? And there have been people that have said, that's not a taco. Well, you know what? Go to San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Walk into those kitchens and tell those people that they're not making tacos.
That's a great point.
See what happens.
Yeah.
See what happens. The first picture that I ever posted going back to the valley of Brownsville tacos got lots of comments about how those actually weren't real tacos because they had cheese on them. So, well, it's that all I did was ask for tacos. And so I started to talk to people, and I brought it up again when I was there in February, and everyone just said, these are true Mexican tacos. Now, they don't mean that generally. They mm-hmm. mean that this is what we eat here.
Mm-hmm.
This is Mexican food from here.
That's so interesting. So interesting. I love this. This is because it's spinning my head. It's changing the way I'm thinking about tacos.
Why? I mean, because the market informs what you eat. I mean, that's just.
I didn't realize that people would have like fighting words for you for showing a photo. Oh. And I guess I think about it in the barbecue sense, because I'll post something and people will get I'll get comments where people will be like, that looks like garbage, or I can't believe it has too much sauce, or that's not real barbecue, or that's not Texas. You should come to like, and it's just interesting how, but I guess people are passionate about food too. That's and then they grew up eating a specific type of food. I've always felt like I don't begrudge anybody for liking a place that I don't like barbecue wise because they grew up eating that and they love that, and if it gives them comfort and like you said, if it's delicious to them, what am I to say? Like, how that I don't feel like I don't want to push my opinion upon them if it's a comfort thing for them. And I've talked to Kelly Yandel, and she was talking about, like, you know, chopped beef sandwiches and these little places that maybe they're not craft barbecue and they might not make a list, but they are a place that the daily workers go to and they enjoy and they get a satisfying meal for a good price.
And there are taquerias like there are workers' taquerias. There are modern Mexican fine dining restaurants.
True.
Now, there are drug taco places. Now, if someone were to start a conversation with, oh, what's your opinion about X? And I just don't happen to like that place. I will be honest with them.
True, true.
But, you know, they asked.
No, exactly. That's the same way. Yeah,
yeah, like a yeah, 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 yeah.
But I won't go out of my way to, you know, to make a place, you know, if it's, you know, and I also, too, like, if, even perhaps they're working really hard, but they just aren't making great food. It's just, not everyone's the best.
And that's one of the things that I think got me on to Texas Monthly's radar is that when their 1996 taco issue came out, it put Fuel City's Picadillo taco in the number one spot, and I've had that taco and it is trash. And I lambasted, I took after them on social media every chance I got. I had no plan. I was just like, this is hooey, this is just wrong. There are much better places. But what that did for Dallas, I cannot argue against, and that is it put Dallas on the taco map, and it gave us a recognition and a push toward a more favorable reputation. You know, Dallas is often called lots of things, few of them good. But I love it here, and I think it's got some of the best tacos in the state. I don't think that I would have, you know, become the taco editor if it weren't for all those little things. Urban barbecue is playing with the tacos, and I remember several years ago Daniel had wrote a piece about why flour tortillas are a better complement than white bread, and that sort of got people thinking.
I remember that.
And now you have this thing called Tex-Mex barbecue. Daniel and I have talked about it. I'm very careful about this. I hesitate to call it an actual taco style, in that you just don't put something into a tortilla and call it something new. What is called Tex-Mex barbecue, I think it's just barbecue. Most of the time, it is how people have eaten for generations. Barbecue comes from barbacoa, which is Mexican and Tejano. I often say that barbecue doesn't reach its perfect form until it's in a tortilla. Yeah. I say that to tease,
of course.
But also I think it's true when it comes to Texas, because eventually everything makes it into a tortilla. Here, and in Los Angeles, someone put a piece of flan in a tortilla.
I have not seen that.
Yes, and served it as a flan taco. And that I did not expect.
No,
I thought desserts, I don't know, they're never going to make it into a taco. Ice cream tacos, sure, but, you know, a piece of custard?
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm going to search that out. That's really weird.
Yeah. Pan dulce, you know, breakfast pastries, never going to make it into a taco. Well, I'm pretty sure I'm wrong now, because if Blonde makes its way in, then anything really, really can.
Yeah.
I think that Tex-Mex barbecue, as I was discussing earlier when I was in Houston, is a thing, can be a thing, is a developing form. There are lots of tweaks, lots of little changes that I think will be made before it solidifies, and I can't wait to see where it's going. I know Daniel has said that he believes a decade from now it will be the defining Texas style, but you should confirm that with him.
You know what's interesting is on Facebook there's a forum called Texas or like a group called Texas Barbecue. And prior to doing this with you, I just wrote and said, I'm working on something on tacos, barbecue places that serve tacos. Can you provide a list? Like, if you can give me suggestions as to one. And I got 80 comments, and there were so many.
Like
off,
what?
Of places, places like we serve tacos, like either we serve tacos, like a proprietor saying I serve tacos, or you should try this, or go to Valentina's, of course, is always listed. But then, people will tag other people. But I'll send you the link. It's amazing how many people, how many places that serve tacos, and there's probably like at least 40 or 50 that were on that list that people gave me. So I'll send it over to you. Just so you have it. I'm sure Daniel knows of a lot of them, but some of them I'd never heard of, or I had not heard that they serve tacos.
Yeah, and there are. This list is going to get forever longer, especially with how popular tacos become across all restaurants. Mm-hmm. I read a couple of years ago that 80% of restaurants in the country serve tacos.
I did not know that. That's an amazing stat.
And it's only growing, right? Because you have small places like pop-ups don't really count as restaurants, do they?
It's hard. Yeah.
But I think that barbecue taco pop-ups are a wonderful thing, and where a lot of it's being figured out, where Tex-Mex barbecue is being worked through, where all the kinks are being ironed out, where people are willing to experiment. I'm thinking about JQ's Tex-Mex barbecue and Eddie O's barbecue in Houston. They are both pop-ups. They're both doing wonderful things. Are they perfect? No, but I'd go back again and again, because they're being thoughtful about it, and they're really trying to develop not only their own styles, but this category of cuisine. And one of the interesting things about barbecue, especially pieces of meat that have heavy rubs, is that you might be served an end that has a lot of rub, has a thick cap, right? That's not going to be the best cap, because all you're going to get is pepper and smoke. Those are the things that have to be worked out, right?
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, where do you, what part of the cut do you slice from to serve the best product or taco, so that you have a quality that is consistent and places in Spicewood or Lexington or Pampa. Up in the panhandle, can serve the style and immediately know what to do with it. Right.
True. So, oh, that's very true.
So, you know, pretty much every Texan by now knows what al pastor is, and they know what carnitas is, and they know what chicharrones is. So it's a discussion and a product that we can all talk about pretty knowledgeably, and we know what to expect when we order it. Tex-Mex barbecue still trying to figure that out.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. So I will be writing a taco of the week every week and posting things like interviews and histories, be doing deep dives, into all aspects of tacos and taco culture, as well as Mexican food, because the tortilla is the jumping off point.
Makes sense.
And the book is national in scope. So it is called American Tacos, a history and guide, and is divided up into chapters focusing on one taco style. The book takes its jumping off point from the idea that tacos represent their own time and place, and that's what defines regional food. There's a chapter on Korean tacos. There's a chapter on Southern tacos that is a category or a genre of taco that has been developing since the 1990s because of population shifts to the rural South and to the urban South. That comes out April 15, 2020. I have a lot of work to do regarding both those things. The book is in production, which is fantastic.
So the book's done.
The book's done. Yeah.
I thought there was still tweaks. That's congratulations. That's a big feat. That's huge.
Yeah. The book is done. I visited 38 cities in 3 countries across North America.
Nice.
For the book. I have done some really weird dives into things. I wouldn't say discovered anything, but, you know, cataloged and chronicled some fascinating parts of American history. Thanks to places like El Paso, which has an incredible newspaper archive that documents American food's development in the state and in the country. Yeah, El Paso's important, man.
Yeah, I'm getting that. I'm learning that.
Go there. Yeah, people need to go there. So, I know we need to wrap it up, but I really hope that people can follow me on social media.
For sure.
At Taco Trail on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and, you know, go to TexasMonthly.com. Because I'm posting there weekly, multiple times a week.
Will there be a taco section eventually, kind of like a barbecue section?
So we have talked about that. And what I said from the outset was I want to put things online and be able to show readers a sort of lay of the land, to show them how diverse Texas Mexican food really is before we create a vertical or...
True. That makes sense.
Or do anything else. I want the content to be there so that it could just migrate over to use tech terms, you know, and then have this resource all in one
place. You'll have so much content, so much information.
Yeah. So the short answer is I think so. I hope so. Yes. Yeah. But you know, I'm just getting started, and now I have to balance the state with the national coverage. I'm not going to freelance anymore. But there will be book excerpts available in print, and I will be publishing in print for Texas Monthly. With what regularity, I do not know, but you know,
that's exciting.
Maybe
too.
Monthly, hopefully monthly. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And also, too, in 2020, we mentioned that another list.
Yeah, well, we don't know exactly how long the list is going to be.
600 tacos.
Yeah. Because I have my own ideas of how to change the format. To make it more engaging and dynamic, but we haven't talked about this as a team at the office. So
some sort of list.
Yeah. Yes. That's how, and when it's going to happen, I've been told when the issue will drop. I don't think I'm at liberty to say.
No, I don't think you should.
But I'm very excited. It's going to give me and our readers a great lay of the land, a great way to see Texas and to hopefully make Texas and Texans a better place and better people, because everyone loves a taco, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then what better way to travel throughout taco than taco land? What better place to travel throughout Texas than to eat tacos or barbecue or whatever? I think it's a great way to travel. Like, I think doing like these food traveling things, I don't even know what you would call it, the excursions. And I think that you'll be able to tell a great story about Texas through that. I'm excited for
you. Well, thank you.
Thank you for taking the time.
Oh, and thanks for having me. Have a good one.